Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. This is the first episode of our season four that is about an episode of Hey Arnold. Assuming everything went according to plan with our calendar, there should be another episode before this one that kicked off this new season of the show, which you should probably also check out. But all of that is to say, this is our more conventional start to season four. And so without further ado, I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Should I set up even more of a cold shot situation where I go like, hello, new listeners who joined us from our last episode that we're all so excited and proud of? That hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure it rocks. I'm sure it's really great and that we didn't screw up at all. And I'm Harry Mackin. You probably already follow me because of the great episode that we just released that got us all of that new attention and followers. But just in case you don't already, you can follow me on at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey, and you can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Season four is off to a great cocky start. Also with us today in the booth is Super Pumpkin Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And as is customary around these parts, kids is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 61 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 4, episode 1, going by production code order. We're going to start with episode 61A, which is called Eugene's Birthday. Original air date, March 17th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. After losing Eugene's birthday party invitations, Arnold, the titular Arnold, feels obliged to throw him another party, but it does not work out. And a special show note here, this is the first episode to feature Spencer Klein as the voice for, again, the titular Arnold. So shoutouts to Spencer Klein. And as we always do on this show, shouting out the fine folks who made this particular episode possible. Christine Kolosov directed this one. And writing credit, let me just check my notes here, goes to what? Craig Bartlett, show creator, show author, dare I say friend of the pod? I do dare. And I do dare to hand the microphone over to Harry. Harry, what are some of your top-level thoughts about this episode?
Hey, thanks, Cody. It makes so much sense that this is season four, episode one, right? And especially that Craig wrote it. My perception originally of Harry was always that as the series progressed, it kind of got more meta. And I really think that like both of the episodes we're going to discuss today are like a really good sort of signifier of that new mentality. The show even opened with that new swing theme that we all commented on. And there are a lot of callbacks in this episode, right? Like it very much feels like a sequel to Eugene's Bike or any of the other Eugene episodes that we've seen throughout the series. They even bring up Craig, make sure to write in that, like, they were trapped on a roller coaster together, that Eugene has been severely injured in the presence of Arnold before. This all leads to arguably Eugene's surprisingly logical conclusion that Arnold himself is the Jinx, not Eugene, during this episode, which I think is a really great sort of fun twist on what we've come to know. This hits a lot of the same notes as a lot of the other Eugene episodes, but I think that that works for me because this through line is really fascinating. And I say it's meta because I think both of the episodes we're about to talk about, but particularly this one, it's sort of like, it talks a lot about the limits of Arnold's actual ability to affect what he wants and how the fact that his ambitions sort of outstrip his abilities to sort of make everything okay, to make everyone get along, to make sure everybody has a good time, you know, Arnold stuff, the stuff he's always up to, how the fact that he can't do that can actually create some dysfunction in and of itself, right? Because throughout this episode, he keeps trying to do his best to do right by Eugene. as best he knows, throwing him these surprise parties over and over again. And because it's Arnold and because it's Eugene and their relationship is what it is, he keeps screwing up, right? But he will not learn the lesson, even though his friends are like, look, man, you just got to call it an L on this one, right? Like, you just have to, like, let it all go. Eugene is a jinx, and you can't save him. And Arnold just will not do that. And I think that, like, playing with that and maybe even sort of playing with the idea that Arnold's sort of, like, pathological need to make everything okay might actually be sort of a character flaw of his is a really fascinating aspect of this episode, albeit one that has already sort of been explored by Eugene, right? But, beyond that, what I really like about this episode is that the central irony of Eugene calling Arnold a jinx and then dissociating from Arnold in a way that Arnold himself was not willing to, and Arnold not necessarily like blaming Eugene for that so much as like thinking it's really sort of like frustrating that Eugene doesn't see things the way that they are, was really interesting to me. You know, I mean, in terms of the sort of classic Craig Bartlett tools to explore or tools to give kids as they're sort of exploring their feelings, I kind of like the idea that Eugene has increasingly come to symbolize this idea that you just can't do everything for everyone, right? And like, we've probably all had friendships like that, right? Where it's like, well, I'm like a good person and they're a good person. Why don't we get along, right? Or like, why can't I make them see things the way that I see things, or why can't I sort of correct this behavior in them or this sort of like unfairness, this inequality that I perceive? And the show's answer to this is just that, like, well, like it's not wrong of you to try, but also you're going to have to accept that there is a limit to what you can accomplish, right? And that's the thing that is hardest for Arnold to accept. And I think that's the really like operatively difficult thing for a lot of people to accept about situations like that. So I really like that this episode tackles it head on, I guess. So I guess that's my big takeaway from this episode. I'm interested in what you guys thought. Do you guys think this was sort of like a rehash of Eugene? I've always wondered about that because it feels like the Eugene episodes sort of end up playing in the same space a lot. But I'm wondering if you thought that this was sort of like a meaningful contribution to that overarching narrative, or if you thought it was sort of just another one. So you should give me your thoughts just in general, but also I would love to hear the answer to that question.
Wow. You hear that, Emily? This MF-er wants us to give us his thoughts, the audacity. But I'm going to hand this microphone now to you, Emily. You know what? You can say what you want. You don't have to give Harry anything.
Yeah, I'm not your boss, but you know, think about my question maybe a little bit. If you're so
you don't have to do that if you don't want to. But yeah, Emily, what'd you think about this episode?
Yeah, I think those are great points, Harry. I think this is kind of an interesting season opener. And you pointed out there's obviously a lot of callbacks in this one with Eugene's episodes. He has had quite a few of his own character episodes, and especially is always paired with Arnold in a lot of his episodes. So this is kind of just another one of those, but looking back on how all of those other interactions have gone and how his character handles things. I think that in general, I'm a little lukewarm on the episode just because I think I just was wanting something funnier. I was wanting more of like a big hurrah back into like Nickelodeon wacky mode with Hey Arnold. And this is, you know, we got the swing theme and more of like PBS style Arthur mode or something of Hey Arnold, I think. Just a little less ha-ha, laugh out loud, funny, and more like straight to the point with the lesson. And as Harry was noting, like deconstructing Arnold and his character, which I think are all good things. I think I'm just, that's why it's maybe more of a mid one for me. But I like the lesson for sure. I think it's important to show kids that, yeah, even if you think, I don't know, you know what's best for someone, or like say you think that your friend would really want to have a surprise party, and you know, you ask them about it and they're like, you know what, no, I would hate that. That's not me at all. And then you don't hear them, you don't actually listen to them or take that into account or any of what they say. in mind or who they are in mind, and you just kind of go with, no, I think I know them better than they know themselves, and you throw them a big surprise party, and then it's all, you know, a waste or what have you. So I think that's kind of the main lesson, which I think is a good lesson. So Arnold is just like more of a control freak, I think, than ever before in this particular episode. So yeah, I really do like the lessons. I'm not trying to rag on this episode or anything like that either. Just pointing out that it didn't make me laugh, I guess. But yeah, Arnold needs to kind of let go of things and let them play out. And he really is not hearing what Eugene has to say and then keeps trying to say to him, which is that, no, man, like, I'm having a great time. This is great. I love this. I'm grateful for this, this, and this. I'm having a wonderful day or wonderful time or a great party or whatever. And Arnold's like, no, man, you're not getting it. Like, this is the worst. I messed this up. I got to make it right. Which is, I think, very big Arnold saves Sid energy, where, yeah, Sid is just bending over backwards for Arnold to make things up to him. And all of that kind of plays out in a similar way with the characters. But what else to say about it? I really like the Arnold banana float. It's like his face in a banana float that's at the party. And I think, yeah, it's fun that they turn the turntables around on Eugene being the Jinx, and now Arnold's the Jinx all of a sudden. And boy, is he mad to be called the Jinx. He does not like that one bit. You see him actually get up, like, really mad and almost, like, kind of goes into, like, a bully mode towards Eugene. Like, no, you will have fun. How dare you? Like, you have to have fun. I have to make this right. And Eugene's like, man, I've been chilling. I've been having a great time. But Arnold is not hearing him. So I think a good lesson for kids for sure. And we do hear, the new Arnold voice, the new theme, the big swing song version of the theme song. We see Chocolate Boy a lot. But yeah, I want to hear what you have to say, Cody, and what else y'all are thinking about it. Happy birthday, Eugene.
Yeah, happy birthday, Eugene. And you know what? This is me welcoming us back to the show. It's been a little while. I know we're kind of shaking the rust off, but y'all sound great. You're in great voice this evening. We're recording in the evening, not to pull back the curtain too far. But yeah, I think you both have set this up well. This is, you know, for better and for worse, like an appropriate, not reintroduction to the show, but I mean, like, you know, starting in on a new season. I feel like we're generally, you know, finger on the trigger with regards to the show, like reevaluating itself, or, you know, looking back on certain characters and, you know, raising some additional questions about them or taking the next step further, especially with Craig episodes. And this episode is no exception. And like, not to go back to the same well that I always go to, but when we started on this project, I was very interested in, I feel weird calling this a project, endeavor or journey seems more appropriate. I'll go with that. But when we started on this journey, I was very excited to see and think about how I can ponder this show in different ways with my friends and recontextualize things, just, you know, as this episode starts, you know, it starts to recontextualize certain friendships and labels that people have for each other and certain constructs. And, you know, the holding up a mirror to, you know, people like Arnold and Eugene, and raising those parallels, as y'all have said, you know, previous episodes, coming back to that in this form. It was, not exactly the funniest watch, or, you know, the most, like, you know, I kind of a different vibe than we're maybe used to with this show. How do I say it? Like a hyper-focus on the self, not to get, you know, we always say, you know what, not to get head-assy about it, but like, it's hard not to come away with this episode and be thinking of something like that, you know? On one hand, this episode does call back to the fact, you know, hey, there are three certainties in life. It's death, taxes, and Eugene is a Jinx. But then it proposes, but what if that's actually not the case? What if Eugene isn't the Jinx? What if Arnold hyper-focused so much on himself as this archetypal angelic central character that, you know, he decides he's going to, you know, gosh darn it, he's going to be Arnold, even if it kills him, even if it puts him on edge so much. And I guess in that way, this felt like a nice complimentary episode to something like Helga's Love Potion, where it's like, what would Helga be like if she just actively denied her affection for Arnold? Like, what would that look like? And just taking an episode to explore that a little bit. So yeah, in that way, I really appreciated and even enjoyed this episode for exploring that. And I'm excited to see, I don't know what other, I mean, well, we've got another episode to talk about after this as well. To some degree, similar to maybe what we'll end up talking about here, but I'm excited to see where the season goes in this way, because I think as we've referenced in previous conversations leading up to season four, this is, we're getting into more uncharted waters, or, you know, the episodes that we remember most are maybe more so behind us. And this is more so unknown territory, or just territory that we don't remember as well. So I'm extremely looking forward to this.
Yeah, I really, really like the way both of you characterized that, right? Like the way, Emily, you characterized Arnold as acting like a control freak or even a bully here. And the way, Cody, you came back to the fact that, like, this really is an episode that is hyper-focused on really the dysfunctionality of Arnold's personality in a way that very few episodes have been before, right? And I think that's kind of fascinating, especially as a season opener, and especially as a season opener written by the show's creator, right? And especially, like, sort of re-leveraging the stories we already know about Arnold and Eugene and getting us to sort of reevaluate them almost. It's like, hey, what if Eugene isn't a jinx? It's just that something about his relationship with Arnold makes him into one. Or there's something about the dysfunctionality between the two of them such that Eugene might not even necessarily be wrong, right? And like, what does that reveal about Arnold himself, right? And it really does. It like reveals this not super flattering portrait of Arnold as someone who considers his relationship with Eugene to be a lot more about indulging his own savior complex than having a real friendship with Eugene, right? Because like Emily, you said, he's not really listening to Eugene. All he heard was in the beginning when Eugene was like, well, I've always wanted a surprise party and I've never had one. And for Arnold, that is like the fundamental sort of like inequality that Arnold has to solve in this episode. And so he goes to these great lengths to try to solve it, even at the expense of Eugene himself, like you said, right? To the point where at the end of this episode, it's a very sort of like dramatic reversal where Eugene actually has to like commit to the knowledge that he will do harm to himself in order to do right by his friend. Right. So like he literally goes to Arnold's party knowing that something is going to go wrong and knowing that he's going to get hurt in order to indulge Arnold's need to feel like everything is going to be all right. And like it's kind of a fascinating portrait of like an unhealthy relationship in that way. And it's a really interesting way to look at Arnold that I feel like we haven't seen a lot before, where it's like, hey, sometimes like Arnold's like hyper fixation on addressing inequalities and making sure everything's fair and everybody's all right can actually be a problem for everyone. Not because it like it shows how his entire community of friends are sort of put out by Arnold's behavior in this episode, not just Eugene. So I found that really interesting and a really like maybe that's part of why we find this episode sort of offbeat for a season opener. But it is a really interesting statement of intentions, I think, for a first episode of a season, right? To be sort of like, okay, like, you know Arnold, you know all of his friends, now we're going to make you think about it a little bit differently. And maybe you'll even sort of readdress how you had been thinking about Arnold up to this point. That's a really ambitious and interesting thing to start a season with, I think.
Yeah, Arnold is just tripping over his own 2 feet, isn't he? Just trying to make the perfect scenario happen, which also is like, he's such a dreamer and he has these ideas in mind that are like, this would be the perfect thing for this person. I know they'd love it. And he really wants to make it happen and make those dreams come true in a way that he ends up tripping over and not listening to them, I guess. So this is just pointing out his downside in that way, in his very Libra, strong Libra tendencies. Also, Eugene is just like alive by the grace of God. I think throughout the entire series, but especially here. I mean, all the things he like falls into so many manhole covers or down the sewer, and he's like has the lights hitting him from like just the architecture, the infrastructure around him is just like falling on top of him in the episode. But I wanted to say too, you were making me think about how y'all have, or all of us or whoever has described it, maybe a guest, I don't know. It's hard to remember back at this point, but people have described the characters as foils. And so I'm just thinking more about how this episode especially has them kind of as these push and pull foils of each other. And I think Arnold has also been characterized in a way where he like really sees the good side. He's really like look on the bright side kind of guy, but in a way that's maybe more unrealistic or something. And whereas Eugene, to be his foil, is like actually looking on the bright side or actually just like grateful for what's in front of him or grateful for what he it really enjoys or whatever good he can take out of a situation. And I think they're kind of, or Craig or whoever is kind of trying to show that too with the push pull here.
Man, that's such a good point. It's like throughout this episode, Arnold is bemused and then frustrated by Eugene's unrealistic point of view, right? It's like, how can you think that this is a good birthday party? How can you think that you're not a jinx? How can you think that your life is going well? I have to show you that your life could actually be going well, right? And then by the end of this episode, it's like Arnold is the unrealistic one, right? Because he thinks that he can do that for Eugene. He thinks that he can be that person. And speaking of foils, I really love Gerald's relationship to Arnold in this episode, where like if Arnold is the guy that absolutely cannot take anything lying down, like is just like, no, I have to make everything right no matter how far beyond my ability it is to do so. Gerald is the guy who is like, kind of coolly making fun of his friend for feeling that way, right? He's like, look, man, like Eugene is a jinx. There is nothing you can do about it. There will never be anything you can do about it. And it's important to have a friend like that sometimes, I guess. And I really liked, I think that that's a really good illustration of Gerald's role in this show in general, is like he really brings out and makes noticeable things about Arnold as well. So that was really interesting and fun to see.
Yeah, especially because it feels like, I guess like thinking back to the last few episodes of season three, there's this weird lack of Gerald. And so getting some strong Gerald moments to headline season four is, you love to see it and hear it, as we say with pretty much every episode of the show. Any other thoughts y'all wanted to put out there? Shout outs, lingering threads that we didn't get to as we wrap up episode A of the season premiere of Hey Arnold season four.
Yeah, I gotta, as always, shout out to Lou Rawls. He plays Harvey the mailman. After Harvey's cold cuts get mixed up with the invitations that Eugene is sending in the mail, there's a point where we get to see Harvey at home biting into a sandwich, and then he bites into it, and instead of a cold cut, hilariously, it's one of Eugene's birthday party invitations, and he goes, Eugene's having a birthday party. What am I going to wear? And I thought that was hands down the funniest moment of the episode, so really good stuff there. Shout-outs to the legendary Lou Rawls, as always.
Heck yeah, I was going to shout-out Harvey, too. He's great. I wanted to shout out the orange sky. I really liked the orange sky when they're on the pier. Also, Arnold and Gerald are eating Scooper's ice cream on that pier, which looks like a really great local shop, and also makes me think that we would have a similar Stoop Kids, maybe Stooper's ice cream, if we ever opened our own shop. And also shout out to the face Eugene makes, the most unamused face I've seen him make in the show, when him and Arnold are standing outside the aquarium. And Arnold's just like, no, I have to force you to have fun. I'm going to make this happen. And again, happy birthday, Eugene. I love you very much.
Shout outs to Eugene. And that's honestly, I'm going to have to, we're going to have to put a pin in this. I'm going to actually, I've decided I'm going to start the paperwork for incorporating Stoopers, the Stoop Kids ice cream shop. So I'm going to just, while we have that momentum, I'm going to go ahead and take care of that. But in the meantime, do not touch that dial, because we will be right back after the break. Welcome back to Stu Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got the next episode to hop into, which is 61B, and that is called Stinky's Pumpkin. Original air date, March 17th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Stinky grows a huge pumpkin to enter in a city competition to prove he's good at something, despite his family telling him nothing has grown on their land for years. And once again, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss directed this one, and the writer for this episode was the Purd Man himself. They wasted no time getting Joseph Purdy back on the show. He was here in written form, and Emily is here in vocal form. So I will toss it to her. Emily, what did you think about this episode?
Yeah, Stinky's Pumpkin. I do remember this episode. I didn't remember it super well, but it was in there somewhere in my back of my elementary school brain. And that I still have, I guess, an elementary school brain. This one hits close to home because my family had Suey Farms before I was around. But my aunt Becky and my uncle have Suey Farms sign up at their house that I see whenever I visit them. And I was thinking of that and them with Stinky's whole family farm legacy in this one. But yeah, I think this is a pretty fun episode overall. It makes a ton of references, which I think kids would get a lot of the references, maybe not all of them, but during like Stinky's dream sequence, you see that you see the Field of Dreams reference or whatever. With the, if you plant them, they will grow. And he is a really good farmer, good landscaper. He plants the nice pattern into his front yard. He kind of goes about this whole dream of his just to kind of carry on the legacy, even against his father's like support at first, which I also, when it got to that point in the episode, I was like, uh-oh, Stinky's dad is not so supportive. But then he turned around 180 right away. So I wasn't sure if that was going to go further into Stinky's unsupportive father timeline or something, but it didn't. Kind of just turned it around after he called him a dang fool. But yeah, I think Stinky is really funny. I think he has really funny lines pretty much in any of his main episodes especially, but him asking, Pa, why didn't you give it to me when I was plowing the field with the dang soup ladle? When his Pa finally hands him over the magical hoe to rake the yard with. The rain drowned snowball in the same week as a extreme way to show the weather problems Stinky was having was pretty funny. And it also just, it brought up a lot of references for me. So I think I just had a nice time watching it and being like, oh, it's kind of reminding me of World Records episode. It was reminding me of James and the Giant Peach with the giant pumpkin. The mayor kind of reminded me of The Simpsons in her delivery at the end. And then there's, of course, with Stinky's family, we have the Norman Rockwell painting, The Freedom from Want, Thanksgiving portrait, and the American Gothic, the painting with the two farmers. So his family is really famous and well-known within the farming, old school American community, I guess. And yeah, I think Stinky comes out on top here, which he has in other past episodes. I don't think this is like a new thing for his character to be a winner or find something he's good at. We've seen him do this, I think, before, but it's kind of just a fun look a little closer at his family. Yeah. Stinky's Pumpkin.
Yeah. Stinky's Pumpkin, Tour de Stinky, History of the Family Stinky, a nice little deep dive. Yeah, that feels similar but different to like singular character deep dive episodes we've had before. No, I like that characterization a whole bunch. Harry, what did you think about Stinky and or his pumpkin?
Hey, thanks. That's a huge pumpkin. He really nailed it. This is a really interesting companion piece with Eugene's birthday because, like you said, Cody, it's also sort of like a very character-centric episode. I was remarking, have we seen another character besides Arnold and Helga have a dream sequence before in this show? But like, I found it very notable that Stinky himself had a dream sequence. This is also notable in that it feels like a like hyper meta version of Stinky episodes we've already seen before, just where like everything is really exaggerated. One thing I really like about this episode, and that I've liked about other Stinky episodes, and sort of a through line in the show in general, in episodes like the aptitude test or like the Stinky Yahoo episode, is that everything about children at this age is about perception, right? So like Stinky's problem has always been that because of the simplicity of his home background, or the sort of like humbleness of his rural background, he has like a big self-esteem problem. That's what the sort of starting characterization of this episode is that he feels like he's not good at anything, like he's got nothing he can do. And Stinky has always been sort of about comically missing the point or the lesson of his own sort of experiences, right? Like in this episode, he perseveres against all odds and against his dad's own sort of like wisdoms or in teachings to build this great pumpkin. But throughout the episode, his takeaway is like, oh, this is because this is what my family's good at. So like, that means I can be good at it too, right? As opposed to like what he learns sort of in his own sort of classically Stinky way by the end of this episode, like the reason why he was good at this is because he's good at anything he sets his mind to, right? Like, and I think that that's kind of the joke of Stinky's whole family, right? Is that they're all extremely articulate, extremely intelligent people, who are sort of like laboring under this delusion that they are, because they're country people, that they don't like have greater intelligence or something. But by the end of this episode, again, Stinky sort of like, he takes his own sort of slant way to get to the right conclusion, right? Where like, he's like, well, as long as I'm in my pumpkin, which is a symbol of my hard work, I'm a big winner now and I can win at everything. And it's supposed to be sort of in that classic, Hey Arnold absurdity sort of way, like Stinky, that is not the point, but it is Stinky's sort of like understanding of the point. And we are supposed to sort of like understand that and respect that, right? It's like, Stinky, you're great. You can do anything you set your mind to. But you still kind of don't think that, and it's going to be a long process for you figuring that out because of who you are and who your family is, right? So I think that there's something very funny about that. I have some issue with this episode in that, like, I don't know, I feel like it gets almost too meta at times, where like, I thought that the joke of the like the Frollo voice coming down from heaven and being like, well, I'm a disembodied voice, and so I'm going to tell you this and you have to accept it. It was funny, but it was like a little bit too sort of like poking holes in the show. And similarly, I couldn't help but feel like a lot of the Stinky characterization in this episode is kind of condescending in a way that undercuts the message, you know, like just the like the music that legendary Jim Lang plays and just like the extent to which his family are portrayed as these sort of like quote unquote heavy scare quotes simple hillbillies. It's sort of like, I don't know. Like, is this joke in like the right spirit, or is it a little bit weirdly mean spirited? You know, to be like, look at these funny country folk in the city. And like, if I'm like really giving them the benefit of the doubt, I would say something like, oh, that's the point, right? The point is that they're not quote unquote simple, that nobody is in fact simple. It's just the fact that like Stinky, they all see themselves this way that sort of dictates that destiny. But I don't really know that the show gives me enough to get that reading so much as it just wants me to think that it's pretty funny that Stinky acts this way. And so I guess I have some minor issues with this episode, but ultimately, you know, I love my boy Stinky Peterson, and I love his family. And I really enjoy episodes that are about sort of quote unquote side characters, right? I want more of them always. So an episode like this is a really nice refresher. And I think it fits really well into the framework of sort of like season four being all about examining what Arnold has been about up until now, right? Which is kind of cool.
Agreed. I think it is kind of cool. And those last points you brought up, Harry, this isn't me offering up a defense of those, because I think those are extremely valid critiques for an episode like this. And my view of it, just because I want to come into every episode, even the ones that are, for lack of a better term, stinkers. I do want to come out like feeling I can appreciate them, as I framed them before, as data points, because there's nothing sexier than calling art, data. That's extremely fun. But I guess my view of this, especially coming out of the spin on the, you know, Eugene deep dive type episode that we got in episode A, is, you know, Hey Arnold does its little tours into genre every so often. And like the genre for this episode, like it had the feeling of a genre episode, but it was really just like the genre was stinky, and it was sort of like we were tourists within his brain, within his perspective. Basically from the dream sequence onward, you can feel a sort of shift. And I guess to your point, Harry, that does maybe in the writers' minds, you know, the Craig and friends behind the scenes, maybe that lends them to think they can get away with a little bit of like, yeah, we are showcasing more of Stinky's interiority and his background. And that allows us to maybe take more cracks at like country living with sort of the understanding that like we can see more of these because we are in Stinky's brain, and that's just how so I don't know. It's sort of like a talking out of both sides of its mouth if I really wanted to be like super critical of it. But I think it was just, you know, kind of, we want to have a bit of our cake and eat it too. I'm mixing metaphors, but hopefully that kind of makes sense. But, you know, from the full history of Stinky's family and, you know, the leaning into the country sort of lifestyle and references and the various punchlines we get, and ultimately the fact that, you know, this episode isn't even about the contest that Stinky is in. I mean, that's definitely the undercurrent of like what we're sort of driving at. And maybe a season 1 through 3 episode would be about, or a little bit more, at least a little bit more about the contest itself of like, you know, how are we, half the episode would maybe be, how are we going to get this huge pumpkin to the contest? And we would, you know, go through a bunch of antics with a lot of the cast instead of just sticking with Stinky. But I like that we stuck with Stinky. And the fact that we sort of, we our heads pop to the surface at the end of it, and it ends on a sort of offbeat note of Stinky maybe got like 70% of the way there, or it feels like he maybe missed the point. That in itself, I think, is not like laugh out loud humorous, but I like that we're the idea of ending an episode where it's, you know, we kind of maybe miss the message, as we do in other non-Stinky episodes before this. I don't know. I liked what this episode was going for, and I definitely came away appreciating it, even if I, you know, didn't love all of it. This is an episode that I certainly have a bona fide appreciation for.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I think that there's something very classically Hey Arnold about the sort of like irony of irrationality, right? Or just like Hey Arnold really loves to play with this thing where like, you know what the point of the episode is, you the audience, but like within the framework of the actual show and the characters, they all kind of missed it, right? Like it kind of went over their heads, especially where Stinky is concerned, right? And that's okay too. I think that there's something very empathetic about the idea that like, look, we know it's frustrating that Eugene and Stinky don't really understand who they are yet, right? And so they kind of like comically miss the point, but that's just kind of how it is to be a kid, right? And that's okay, maybe. And I thought that like it was really interesting that they maybe implied that like all of Stinky's family was kind of like that, right? Where like, and this sort of like comically missing the point in favor of sort of like hanging on to an outsized perception of themselves is like just a family trait that is very difficult to overcome, where it's like to hear Stinky tell it, the whole like big tragedy of his family's failure, that like they lived on a farm for a long time and then the farm underwent a drought or it became non-profitable and so they moved to the city. It's like, that's not like some Steinbeckian tale of like tragic loss, right? It's just kind of something that happened to a lot of people, but like, and like probably to a lot of the families that Stinky hangs out with, right? And so there's sort of this great irony to the idea that like, but they really took it hard and they're really still like, look, we're still those people. We're just sort of like in this fallen state because our promised land was like ceded from us by the cruelty of time and weather, right? And it's like, but like, wait a minute though, like Stinky is a city boy born and raised, so like why is he hanging on to all of that stuff, right? So there's almost kind of an interesting through line there about like, you don't need to hang on to these perceptions of yourself so tightly, especially when they're totally out of lockstep with the actual realities of who you are, right? It's like Stinky is a winner. He just needs to see that. So that's kind of a fun point. Again, a fun point that I think is a little bit undersold by the actual sort of writing here, which has so much fun with the hillbillyisms. But I really like your point, Cody, about it sort of being from Stinky's POV, right? I just don't know if, like, and again, it's not fair to level this charge only when I want to, but like, I wonder if the kids watching this show were picking up on the idea that, like, oh, like, this is Stinky's perception of himself and his family that he needs to get over, or if they were just sort of laughing at how funny it was that Stinky is a hillbilly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, for better and for worse, there is that sort of signal, you know, that flag being raised of it in retrospect, of like 20 minutes ago when we watched this episode, but it does feel like the episode trying to tell you during that dream sequence that, like, hey, we are metaphysically being transported to somewhere a little bit different for the rest of this episode. And in a way, it is kind of lending, or rather this episode, winning me over on utilizing Tony J, as the voice in the sky. And, you know, I had to look it up because I knew we talked about Tony J on the show before. He is, I guess, for, you know, animation/Disney buffs, he's the voice of Frollo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. On Hey Arnold, he was most notably the voice of the senior Smythe Higgins, Rex Smythe Higgins, I believe. So yeah, we've seen him before, having him as the sort of divine voice in the sky, as a jarring sort of, like, you know, earth shattering. And, you know, again, there have been other characters, as we've been talking about in the group chat, who have had those dream sequences come up in episodes, not super often, but the fact that this is a dream sequence for a different character, and B, there's another voice popping in to provide some sort of divine guidance for the trajectory of this episode. It is sort of a ham-fisted way of, like, getting us on track for what, you know, maybe this episode and Craig and friends want us to get out of it. But I don't know, I was kind of on board. It's a moderate to big-ish swing. And I, you know what? I'm a sucker for big swings because I'm a sports guy, and that's just how I am.
I think y'all are making great points and making me appreciate this episode more too, because thinking about how are they portraying Stinky's family? Is it like a fair portrayal, or are we kind of laughing at them? Was making me think more too of what is the lesson here and everything. And just like the fact that, I don't know, I think this episode drives home the point of, like, well, try again, fail again, keep failing. You might get there, you might not. If you plant them, they might grow. Maybe they'll grow, maybe they won't, whatever. But I think it points to the absurdity a little bit of Stinky's family considering themselves these failures, or thinking of themselves as these, you know, simple people, and they just can't do it right, and they had to move off the dang farm and into the city, and boy, isn't that a failure on their part. But, like, they're obviously so competent, skilled in what they do. They made a huge move, you know, they changed their style of living, all of these really intelligent things, adaptable things they've done, and are, like, they make it clear, I think, I would say in this episode that's, like, a point of pride or something that they could be proud about. But it's like the aw shucksness of it is just, well, they don't see themselves that way, but through trial and error, Stinky gets a little bit closer by the end. And yeah, I don't know that we will see much more of his family. I can't remember, but this might be more of like a kind of a bottle episode of his family right here.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think at the very least, you know, we can consider ourselves honorary Stinkies for talking about them in as much adoring detail as we have. And I guess on that note, are there any other adoring details we would like to share about this episode? Anything just kind of miscellaneous shout outs, you know, the stuff we always talk about, anything like that for episode B?
Shout outs to Arnold also sticking his head in this, right? Like, literally at just the very beginning and very end of the episode, he's the guy who's like, damn it, I'm going to make sure the mayor sees Stinky's Big Pumpkin, even though it's sort of like, yeah, okay, like that's great, but like, I don't know, I feel like they sort of they handled it. Like Stinky sort of had his own little arc here. Arnold, you really don't need to be here to sort of like make sure that the lesson drives home. But God bless you for doing it anyway, especially coming off of the last episode. It really is funny how our perception of Arnold sort of morphs here a little bit.
Yeah, I would say shout out to Stinky's catchphrase, I think, which is just okie dokie at this point in time. I think it's a great character catchphrase for him, or at least something he says pretty often in the last few seasons. And that shout out to the Yahoo billboard they passed, him and Arnold walked past at the very beginning, just like a little quick nod to his other character arc, which I think was in season two. We're so far into the series now. And then I just want to relay Stinky's speech at the end because I think it's really great. And I love when he gives big speeches. So he goes, he's thanking everyone about the award for the giant pumpkin. He goes, couldn't have done it without my pa, my crazy prophetic dreams, and of course, the encouragement of my friend Arnold, which is kind of how probably all of us feel a little bit here. Stoop Kids headquarters. So yeah, okie dokie, that's my last shout out.
Okie dokie. Yeah, and I appreciate you calling out Stoop Kids headquarters. Your Patreon dollars finally came through. We've got a space in which we can do all that. No, I'm just messing with you. We're the same old humble Stoop Kids, and you know, we're in it for the long haul. And this was our first taste of season four. Hopefully it went down nice and smooth. I don't know. This felt nice to get back into the swing of things. But we're happy to have everybody here back for another rousingly good time, fun season. I'm running out of adjectives and adverbs. Thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
It's season four now, and the only thing that's growing is us growing older and poorer. We don't do quotes at the end of episodes, generally, but I really loved when Stinky's ma, or Stinky's ancestral grandmother, said that while she was looking over the barren farm, so I had to shout it out, and I forgot to do it just until just now. So, shout outs, big mood to the Petersons, and we'll see you next week, probably. I'm Harry. You can find me on Twitter at @JatakiHarry. Bye.
I'm Emily Suey. You can find me at Suey Farms.
That's right. You can tell Harry doesn't listen to these episodes because he said we don't do quotes at the end of them. On that note, podcasting, no. It's called cultivating, son.